Back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
3 minutes after 11 o'clock, our Mellow Joy Coffee time. My pleasure to welcome back to the show new Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt following the Tuesday night City Council meeting. He usually joins us on the Thursday. How you doing, sir?
All good.
Good to see you again.
Yes, sir.
Last time you were on, we were prepping for the devastation of Hurricane Ida. And,
did we dodge a bullet? Yeah. Were we blessed? I mean, you hate to see what's happening to our neighbors and friends down the road, but, oh, my God, we dodged a bullet.
Yeah. And, you know, are we better prepared for the next one that may be a possibility? I guess you learn a little something from each one trying to get prepared for it.
You do. You do. I mean, we had done a good job of getting our drains clean. We gave out about 5,000 sandbags. We, you know, those systems are in place. And the minute that Joe with Public Works, with Joe and I even see something on the radar, we're comparing notes. So when do we start? We've gotten really good at that aspect of it. We just bought the PD their own barricades, so they have 20 barricades in a trailer, and in new budget they'll get 30 more. So that gives them 50, because sometimes our police officer can be the quicker response. So we were prepped up for the first time with Ida. We didn't have to use them, but we got all that in place probably the week of. And so that's going to give, you know, Public Works crews have to come out from Generette, from, you know, other areas. The police officers are on duty at the time. In new budget, we're actually going to get a truck per shift and probably a four-wheel drive truck that might even have a snorkel on it so that they can deploy even faster into areas to block streets, to help people with the wake is the big thing. You know, we have flooding in our town too much. We are working on that. We have money coming from the American Rescue Plan that we are putting toward drainage. We're constantly spending money on drainage, trying to make it better. We all know we live in a very flat land, and it all drains out through the canals into the bay. And when the tide's up, the water has nowhere to go. We get, you know, a couple of Fridays ago, we had 6 inches in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, we had
Tuesday night
in the council meeting. I think it was 4 inches in 45 minutes, something like that. Those crazy rain events are becoming the norm. So we know we have to deal with that. But, yeah, so every storm that comes and everything that you watch what happens to the people, like we're watching our, you know, friends to the east, and when you see the devastation and, you know, some things you can't prepare for, but you learn a little something every time.
You know, I noticed, though, as of late, it seems Main Street is draining a little bit better. I would imagine that's due to some effort.
And St. Peter's a little worse.
Yeah, is that right?
And I'm finding that. You know, we're still searching for clogs in the drains. We still really think some of it happened when they resurfaced. It seemed to have gotten worse on St. Peter Street. But we have a drainage project in the works now with our engineer to maybe help with some of that. We have the next phase of Jefferson Terrace coming. We have some stuff on Ann Street that would go to the bayou that we're trying to work on, that we'd probably use some President Biden money with that, because that's a pretty large project. But, you know, we are looking and studying all our issues, and you know, we have many, believe me. I mean, I live in this town. I drive it every day, and every time we get a flood event, I rush to, you know, certain areas that I know we're going to have issues. And like I said, the wake is one of the biggest things. One of the things we are doing is equipping our police department with some better equipment that they can get out there and stop that. And that many buildings have flooded really from the wake, not from the rain event. So that's something that we see that we, you know, can prevent. I don't want to put $500,000 fire trucks in the road again like I did when I first got here, blocking Lewis Street when it really flooded. And, you know, then the chief came out and said, you know, those trucks, which we've bought some since then, you know, these trucks are $500,000 trucks and we got them in the water. That's why we ended up buying a high water vehicle for the fire department. We have two for the police department. So, you know, we pick up what we can and we fix what we can as we go along. But, you know, like I said, you learn a little more every time.
There you go. I want to ask you, before we jump into the council meeting, you know, St. Martinville recently changed garbage providers, and I really hadn't thought about the process ever since Gordon's pretty much handed over their work to Pelican, and St. Martinville having issues with Pelican, St. Martin Parish. Have you guys had any issues with Pelican, and how's that process going where, again, getting set to bid out garbage and bulky waste contracts?
Sure. Pelicans is different from Gardens, you know, when you have a contract with somebody for that many years. But no, we've had a few hiccups in the transition, and they stepped up and took care of it. We have a good rep, and he goes out and assesses. They are strict by the contract, but that's why you have a contract. It works both ways.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I have, but I can't say that it's with Pelicans, the biggest issue I have is people cut trees. Tree people cut trees and then run. Pile them up by the road and run. And so the poor homeowner who has hired somebody, those tree people are supposed to haul those trees off.
Right.
That's a commercial business. They're making money off of that. And so Pelicans doesn't pick those trees up, and they shouldn't. It's not in their contract to pick them up. Or we have some instances where homeowners will cut a tree. Sometimes I don't even know how they got it to the road. I mean, it is huge. And there are some requirements that it has to be certain sizes. And then we'll have to call them and say, if you cut it up further into the right specification size pieces, Pelicans will pick it up. If you don't, you know, they're not picking it up. So that has been an ongoing issue.
Well, what is that size?
I don't want to quote it, but it's a lot smaller than most people think. I'm not sure, and I hate to put something out there that's not correct. But it's you know, less than 4 foot pieces. It's probably, you know, 2 and 3 foot pieces. It depends on the diameter. We had one tree that was so big they couldn't even pick up. They cut it to, let's say, a 5 foot section, but the thing was fatter than it was, you know, tall. And I mean, the equipment couldn't even pick it up. I'm like, how did you even get this to the road? But so we have issues, but those are contractual issues. And, you know, you have to remember, like Republic, their contract is based on per household. So they don't pick up empty lots. So you end up with trash, and we all know we have a litter problem. And as a society, as a culture, we litter way too much and don't think anything about dumping stuff out of that car or these tires that keep showing up everywhere. Well, Pelicans or Republic is not required to pick those up. That comes out of the city budget. If they're on private property, then we try to lean on the property owner to clean up their property. But it's not always. Sometimes they're the victim. Law enforcement is stepping up. We're changing ordinances. We'll have a litter awareness program with some of the American Rescue money. We're buying another street sweeper, which should help. We've partnered with Parish Proud. Our second district cleanup, that will be Marlowe and Dee again, because Councilwoman Reed did the first one on Ann Street. Now her and Councilman Lewis, so they're partnering, and they're doing one on Hopkins Street in October. And so each council person is stepping up and starting a clean dish. I mean, we're trying to raise awareness that we have a problem, and the quality of life when you live in a town is not good when you ride by and see piles of junk everywhere. It's very hard to attract new development and get new businesses to come here when it looks like you just, you know, throw crap in your doorway. So those are the things that we have to work on as a town, as a people. But it's cultural. I mean, it's everywhere, you know. I live on the Louisville Road, and, you know, I saw somebody I knew the other day drive by, and they threw something out their truck, and I'm just thinking, and you know, he didn't notice. It was just a reflex, and I'm thinking, man, I know that guy. You know, it's just, I went pick it up. I mean, it was in front of my house. Picked my garbage can up Tuesday morning, and, you know, somebody had a dirty diaper in the road. You know, I mean, just crazy stuff. So that's what we got to try to cut down on. And I don't think people realize that when you're trying to sell your town for a new business or a new development, when you're trying to get jobs here, when you're trying to entice people to stay here or move here, they look at that. I mean, that is something that is in your face. And we seem to drive by it just oblivious to the whole thing. So something we got to work on, but I think that we're getting some tools in place to work on that. But always an issue. But with the contracts, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Gordon wanted to be out of the contract. Pelican said they would take it. Actually, Pelicans took it for cheaper. So I was pleased with that. Republic, I think there's 2 years left in the current contract.
Okay, so I didn't remember how long that.
I think there's maybe 2 years left. Now, my plan is probably next year.
To consider bidding
to consider saying I bid it out. And what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to look at it both ways. We've had two separate contracts and two separate contractors. I'm going to look at it and say, okay, one person can bid on the whole thing, or I can have separate prices because I would like some flexibility. I'm going to get the best deal I can, as I do in everything, you know, for our taxpayers. So I'm not opposed to one company bidding and doing the bulky waste and the trash. I'm not opposed to having two. So we'll manage it either way, but that is something that I am looking at. That I think there's 2 years left, so I'm thinking about next year bidding that out and going through that process and seeing who ends up with it. I mean, we'll never have the contract we had before. If you remember, we operated under a contract that only paid out what the garbage tax brought in.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this big deal that at some points they were making a killing. If our taxes were up, they were really making money. If our taxes were down, they owed us money every month. And then there was an adjustment because it had to level out. I love that. We'll never do that again. That was the craziest contract. No one will ever sign that again. And both companies that have been involved in that contract have said, don't come back with that. You know, we're not interested. So I think we'll be back to just this is what the tax brings in, and hopefully we can, you know, cover all of our costs with the new contracts. But I am curious about that. You know, we have a lot going on financially in the city. We are doing things left, you know, all over the place, and seems to be almost all at once. So that is something I'm concerned with, is one reason that I might want to bid it out early.
Gotcha.
And if I don't like it, I can not accept them and, you know, go another year and do it again.
There you go. Tuesday night, council met. Let's go ahead and jump into that. I know initially you had a presentation, similar presentation last night in front of the parish council from Cynthia Elmer. I believe she had somebody else with her.
Yes.
Talking about Suicide Awareness Month.
Yeah, she's done a great job with that for many, many years. She would come to the council when I was the pro tem, and they do a really good job of trying to raise that awareness, trying to prevent, you know, a tragedy. So she came and did a presentation on that like she does every year, and it's good to kind of publicize the work that they do.
Very good. And you had a couple of specific public hearings on a couple of ordinances up for adoption, and one of those in regard to boundaries of the Economic Development District, or
yes,
adding an
Economic Development District. Yeah, that was the final vote to create the Economic Development District. We'll have more work coming. This is all is how we're going to fund the Pepperplex that we will be taking over, already city property, but that will be coming. So this is one of many steps to come. You'll see a lot of steps with that Economic Development District, something new for the city. So we have more steps coming. The goal is to be able to have our funding source in place for January so that we can float a bond in the range of $3 million that will much of it will go right back into the Pepperplex. That's the whole point of this. There'll be a little bit of money generated, like $150,000, that will go to our other parks. But the $3 million bond that we will float will all go into the Pepperplex. So we're developing our plans, working on our budgets, have met with every participant of the Pepperplex, anybody from, you know, soccer, Little League, you know, everybody that uses it, the travel ball people who would like to be using it and utilizing the facility. So we've met with everybody, and everybody's in agreement that we're heading in the right direction. And so over the next few months, you'll see more EDD meetings. You'll see some legal documents that will kind of get us out of the agreements we're in, because the city will run the Pepperplex and will own it. So we have to do some legal stuff to get boards kind of out of the picture. We want them to stay on as advisory, and, of course, that's the people who will be utilizing it. But if the city's going to spend tax dollars on it, it needs to control it.
Yeah.
So there'll be some steps to do that. But, yeah, this was the first of many steps to come.
Very good. Any pushback from the businesses within those districts, Arkansas in particular, I'm thinking?
I haven't had any yet.
Good.
Which
is a positive
thing. It's a positive thing. And it's all going to, you know, it's all for the kids. It's all for recreation. It's all going to develop something to finish out a vision that good people from our community had 10 years ago. And had they been able to finish funding, it would have been so ahead of Broussard and Youngsville that we're compared to when it comes to this park. They'd have been so far ahead of the game, so it wouldn't be funny, but their state funding dried up on them. So I think people realize we're just finishing something that was started a long time ago by a lot of, you know, really positive, concerned people, and that it's going to be an asset to our community.
There you go. Several resolutions. Oh, no, I'm kind of skipped back past the other big item was approved.
And road bond. Road
that
bond.
Where's my road now?
Yeah, I know.
That's next, right?
I had somebody text me this morning. We're in yoga story. And what we did do, remember, we had to get our finances straight to even be able to do this. So it took up until now to pull this off. the refining an existing bond that we paid $600,000+ for a year. That was at almost 5% interest. Thank you very much. Four point something. We refinanced that, rolled it in. Now we pay $900,000. But for that $300,000 more, we have $12 million to spend on our roads. And we got that. We weren't sure what it would be at less than 2.1% interest. Mm-hmm. So we cut the interest in half and paid off an old bond, floated a new bond. And that money will be available in about a month. And what we're doing is the council has met with the engineers because we wisely hired them in January to begin their road assessments. So they've assessed all the roads. They've now met with each council person and gone over the roads they recommend. Council people are now contributing, you know, their voice and you know, the people they represent. Well, I might need to get this road or whatever. So that's going back and forth. And then it won't be long, either the next meeting or the following meeting. It's either the next one in September or the first one in October. We'll do a public presentation of the roads, and the council will vote to accept that this is the plan. This is what we're doing. Once we have that, that should be right around the time, let's say around November, that the money's actually cash in hand, available, and then the contractor can, the engineers can advertise. So that's a 45-day process. So when you figure, you know, a week for a hiccup, you know, a meeting, a cycle, 2 weeks for a hiccup is what I always kind of plan on, you're probably looking at the very end of the year, beginning of January, to bid out the roads.
Gotcha.
And then once we have a contractor, they probably have 30 days to take all the action they need, which is, you know, from insurance certificates, from bonds, from mobilization, all the things that contractors do. So I would say that we'd start seeing work probably in February. But gotcha. It's coming. I mean, it has taken – this is something that we knew we needed. When I took office, it wasn't like I drive the same streets. I say that all the time. It wasn't like I knew they weren't shot in many areas. But it's taken this long to get the finances straight and to get to where we, you know, we're at this point that we're ready to pull the trigger. And I'm excited. I mean, it's long overdue. We still have a cyclical problem that we get our finances straight. The last administration, it was 14 years before they floated a road bond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they spent about $8 million. Now, fast forward 10 years. Okay. So we didn't cut it down by very much. And, you know, we're floating out a $12 million bond. So we're spending a little more money on the front end, but we have to get a handle on some way to do some maintenance. And what I'm a contractor, people have asked me, you know, I'm not a big fan of road in a can, okay? I do see that we are missing the boat on coating some streets that we could add life to them. But if you're only going to do it every 10 years, you don't have time to, when you finally get money to fix, your roads are in such bad shape, you got to go and spend it all on, you know, concentrating on not losing the rest of the base, concentrating right. on rebuilding a road. What we are missing is road in a can has a value, is that if you do coat roads and spray roads, you might get 4 or 5 more years out of them, and then you wouldn't be quite in this cycle of every 10 years hit the panic button and have to really do no maintenance in between. I'm looking at some options on how down the road we could fund that, because we do need to increase and have something dedicated toward road maintenance, not just waiting every 10 years when the finances get right, or 12 or 14 years to float a bond. But we're working on it.
Gotcha. Got a gentleman who just stepped in, and yeah, help yourself to those. We're happy to provide those cane pocket football guides. Appreciate them coming by. Passed a few resolutions, a bunch of project updates.
Yes, yes, finally. And again, we talk about these projects sometimes for 2 years before they get going. The kayak dock's a perfect example. We got the grant for the kayak dock, and then the Corps of Engineers took 9 months. That's the one they wanted me to do a study about manatees in the bayou and just all kind of craziness. So it almost took
I remember one up Bayou Lafourche. Back in the late 90s.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I've never seen one. I'd like to. I go to Florida to look for them, but I hadn't seen one yet. But so that finally got approved with some help from Senator Kennedy's office to get it out of the Corps' hands. And then we finished our design work, and so it bid out. In the meantime, you might have seen some city crews there. We used our new excavator and kind of dug the landing area where the kayak dock is going to float, and got that and some site work done over the last few weeks. That's part of our match for the grant. So we awarded that project. It was
some of the work I saw, it looked like building a staircase or something right off the sidewalk.
Well, they removed an old set of steps. They removed some fencing. And then down at the bayou, they dug in as part of the Corps permit. They dug in 8 feet, made it about 6 feet deep, and reshaped all the bank. That's for now. And then the contractor will come in. There's some riprap that we're adding as fill. There's the kayak, floating kayak dock that'll be put together and delivered at City Park Landing and then floated down in place. That's probably 4 months away. And then there's some site work and some sidewalks and some signage and some other things coming. But that project's awarded. The other project that we awarded was the conversion of the existing old restroom that has, for the most part, been locked, changing that to an outdoor open-air kiosk visitor center. And so that project was awarded.
Noticed a few huge letters behind it.
Yeah. Those are our New Iberia letters. And once we open up and make a big open-air pavilion out of the restroom, you'll really see them. Mm. And it's just photo opportunity. Thought it was something cool. The Liberty Bell got delivered yesterday.
Excellent.
It's not in place, but we have. I mean, it's we'll probably, the paver people are coming next week to redo the pavers at the center. Then we'll be flying in the bell with a crane and setting it all in place. So probably in 2 weeks, I guess, we're hoping we'll have the centerpiece of the Veterans Memorial finished.
That'd be great.
Which
for
is
Veterans
awesome.
Day, if
which
it,
is
it
awesome.
Could be done.
To be
yeah.
talking about something 6 months ago to raise $65,000 out of the generosity of a whole lot of people and the hard work
talk
of the
Philadelphia
veterans.
Into giving us their
That's
Liberty
it.
Bell.
That's it. That's that it. So now people can come from all over Acadiana to see a life-size version of the Liberty Bell. It's pretty cool. It's big. We unloaded it out of the truck yesterday. I had a meeting, but I left and kind of abandoned them and came, and it's really neat. So that'll be coming. And then the big,
we'll get to a call in just a
yeah,
second.
And then
here.
The other part of Bulling Plaza that's coming is you're going to see a pedestal come up pretty soon in the front next to the gazebo. That is the future James Lee Burke sculpture. He's done a whole lot for our community, put us on the map with Dave Robichaux and all of those novels. So we are raising money and working hard on that to put a sculpture there. So what we're trying to do with Bulling Plaza is you hit the visitor center, you pose for pictures with the big New Iberia letters, you look at the Veterans Memorial, you take a peek at the Liberty Bell, and you go read about this, you know, see the statue from James Lee Burke. And it's just a way to have a nice, unique spot in the middle of our downtown that really starts to explain, tell our history, and attract visitors.
Very good. Got a caller on the line.
Oh, great.
Appreciate your waiting. You're in the air.
How you doing?
Good.
It was good to hear about the kayaking and all that. My neighbor across the street has two of them on the top of a SUV. I don't know where they're kayaking right now, but I'm sure they want to get in the bay. I want to ask you about something more urgent. The speeding on the streets and all is just horrible. I live on Pollard Avenue. If you take your little GPS thing that you know, you can gauge how fast a car is going. I think one of them is doing like 60. We're going to videotape them and show them at maybe a future council meeting so y'all can appreciate more how horrible it is. When Louis Ackle was the sheriff, and he was also taking care of the city of New Iberia, mayor, he had these little things that they put up on the street. It was on like two wheels, and it had a light blinking showing how fast the person was traveling on the street. You know, and if the limit was 25 miles an hour, it would blink real fast to show you you're
right.
speeding. And occasionally he would have a deputy down, you know, around. And that really, really helped, even though it was just a temporary fix. With all that cash y'all got coming down, you think maybe y'all could come up with a couple of those to help us?
I wrote a grant. Lewis got his through a grant because I talked to him about it. And we have a grant out. I tried last year and I didn't get it. And we have a grant out with the same organization that he had got it from this year to actually try to get one of those. So
yeah.
I'm working on trying to get one of them. I think in my new budget is November. You're going to see some changes, and I think you're going to see some police officers dedicated to speeding. I was reluctant to write speeding tickets when we first took office. Then we began to write pretty many tickets. Then we pulled back from COVID. I can tell you that I'm finally coming out of that. At one time, I had 7 officers out with COVID at a time. That is getting much better. We have five officers in the academy, or four, and they'll be coming out in, I don't know, two more months. So my staff is back where it needs to be. We have two officers that we're waiting, that are on desk duty, and we're waiting to get them released. But we are looking at some options to be able to do more in the speeding arena, if you will. I'd love to have one of those machines. It's just they're more expensive than you think. That's probably $100,000. So we also want a message board, and we did decide that Public Works needed, no offense, I agree with your problem about speeding, but Public Works needs a message board, road closed or whatever,
right.
And we've never had one of those. We put one of those in this year's budget. I think it was $85,000. It's on the radar, and I think at some point you will see that we will obtain one of those.
All right, great, thanks.
Appreciate the call. 367-1240. Real quickly, planning and zoning recommendations. A couple more projects that you're working on there.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going. We had to do some sidewalk work for the Waffle House that's coming, and that will be on the next agenda because we got to accept some sidewalks from DOTD so they can keep going to Lewis Street where we're getting a downtown location of Waffle House. And that's on some of the De La Iberian property.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, yeah, I don't really consider that downtown. But
well, it is. Well, compared to that, they're normally on highways.
Their new business
philosophy is to put them in downtown. So
gotcha.
For them, they felt
okay, cool.
That was downtown. And you're right, it's on the edge. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I had something for that. That was either this meeting or the next meeting, and I'm not sure what the other one was. Maybe warm me up on that one.
Sport Fish Restoration Program, boat slips.
Oh, okay.
Transient
motor boats. That's a cool thing.
I hated seeing the word transient.
I give
people the idea that they're bums.
I have enough panhandling issues in my town that I am looking for a solution. I don't need to have boaters, okay? So, yeah, I don't like that word transient. Anyway, what that is Felicity's Landing, which is coming on Fulton Street behind the steamboat warehouse. We already have the money, $386,000 from the state, and I thank them very much. That's going to cut in, not stop the traffic, but that's going to cut in the sidewalk and the neutral ground and give us an area that boats can pull up, that you can walk out on a dock and then go up a set of stairs either side to get out of the bayou. So now when we have the boat shows, when the marinas actually are finished, when the kayak dock's done, you can paddle from the kayak dock, you can come tie your kayak up, go downtown, come here, go to restaurants, go to bars, spend some money in our downtown, get back in your boat.
I was going to say, the intention is not to park it for a month.
No, it's not to park it for a month. Would love to see that spurs a tour boat, because now we'd have a way to get tourists that are coming to all these new things we're putting in Bowling Plaza. So we have a lot of plans for that. Well, then we decided state can match federal. Federal can match state. Remember that when you do a grant. So knowing that and having done that before in my previous life in St. Martinville quite a few times, we found another federal grant that liked our project. So we said, we'll take the $386 from the state. We'll make that our match. So now the 20% I'm putting up is $386. So now I can get over $1 million. So we're in the running, but that was one of the pieces for the grant. The council had to pass the resolution. So now the grant has been fired off since we did that, and we are hoping to parlay the capital outlay money we got from the state to broker it and use it to increase our fold three times plus with the federal government.
Very good.
And then we'll be able to do more things. So that's fun. That's always
fun. Wasn't there a time when that wasn't likely because the Corps found it not wide enough to do something?
Well,
that's
why we're digging in.
Gotcha.
The whole, when you have a rule, I don't break them. You just figure out a way to use the rule you have. So having to keep that 85-foot clear, navigable waterway, I realized I could go in 10 feet, and I have 8 feet to spare. So now by going in 10 feet, well, now I have an area that, again, we can use it the way we want it to. You just got to work around the rules.
Gotcha. Or again, make corrections. There you go.
Yeah.
Kevin Zering, city treasurer, did a couple of budget updates. Anything out of ordinary there?
No, not really. We found, and we knew that was happening. We had a couple of departments that were hoarding their money and that was concerned about COVID. You can't blame people for being cautious, but Parks and Rec is one of them that earlier this year, they just didn't spend money. They had some capital outlay projects budgeted, and they sat on it. And every time we talk about it, we're not sure. We can't even open the gyms. We're not sure about this and that. And so now we're pushing them to spend it. But the numbers were more than good. But some of that was because they haven't made some spending moves. We've asked them to do it.
And this is not spending just to spend. Though.
No, no. One is an air-conditioned unit that's $150,000,
right,
but
right.
The gyms weren't being utilized, so they were like, okay, let's just wait and see. We didn't like the bids we got, so now we're going to combine it in a larger project and actually probably get some better numbers. Being a contractor myself, there are times that when you just bid out air conditioning, you'll get a few air conditioning contractors to bid. But when you send it out and include it in the general contracting project, in a GC project, he wants the job. Every edge he gets, if there's 10 subs on the job, he wants the best price from all 10. Well, suddenly he's going to get 12 air conditioning prices where you got two. So when I realized that I could wait, or that we had waited, I said, well, a little longer ain't going to hurt. It's almost the winter. So that'll get combined and go into a GC project. But so there's a few things that just kind of skewed the numbers that look like, boy, they're really doing good. So I think we're going to be exactly where we need to be, and all the departments were, except for the areas that the spending had been held back a little bit. So I think with the two more months left in the year, we'll finish fine. But doing those budget updates, because what people don't see is for Kevin to come every quarter and give us these, we've had department head meetings with every department head in my office going over that budget. So we do that every 2 months. And it has greatly helped me predict. You can't have all this matches for grants, CARES Act money, grant money, regular capital outlay that I call internal capital outlay from the general fund, capital outlay coming from the state. You know, it's a if we're going to manage that and take some financial calculated risk, you know, float bonds, borrow money, refinance things. If you're going to do all that, you better have a handle on your cash flow. So what has happened over the last 3 years especially, we have really ramped up ways to predict where I'm going to end up or not end up, or how's the city, you know, how's our cash flow in general, because we've got a lot going on. So a lot of moving parts.
There you go. You mentioned fiscal year winding down a little, about 7 weeks, I guess,
yes,
left in the fiscal year. Any thoughts on budgeting for the next fiscal year?
Yeah, I think we're going to be even more aggressive than we were this year. I've also told all my people, spend the money. You know, when we put it in November, you better get some things going. The combination of the American Rescue Plan money, we deposited $5.2 million into our account this past week. We haven't spent any of it yet. We are making our plans. We are putting together justification from this 2-inch thick 150-something page thing I got from the Treasury Department. So every project will now reference a section number in that as why I think it's justified, because remember, we're going to get audited.
Right.
We thought of a few other things that we are looking into that could actually alleviate a few of those rules on a certain percentage of money through a calculation that's in that book. So we are working at, you know, as fast as we can. And we've already presented the plan of projects, and the council's approved that. And I've already split it into what would happen the first 2 years, what would happen when we get the second check the next 2 years. But all that has matches. Like the $5 million we're going after for sewer, I got to come up with $1.5 million as a match. It's a 30% match. Now, I could take the American Rescue money and take the lazy way out and say, oh, I'll just take the 1.5 from the money the government got me and match it with the new money that the government's given me. Well, you're almost going backwards. So I don't want to do that. So I found some creative ways. And remember the CARES Act money we got 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I had put $1 million aside for grant matches, and I got criticized for that. And there's $900,000 left. I don't owe anybody any of that money, and there's no strings on that money. So now we'll take that $900,000 and put it up for the $5 million for the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the same thing, but we didn't take it from the American Rescue Plan because that money will go to projects. So there's a lot of that. The drainage money I get from the parish is about, that's really our money that we get back from paying the mosquito tax, and then they give us back what they don't spend, a portion of it. And they do that for all the municipalities. So that's probably $600,000 a year. I might use that as my match for the $5 million that's coming in January to apply for drainage. At least that would cover half my match. So, you know, it's just sitting there with the different pots of money, and how can I leverage what I have, or leverage the assets the city has, the workforce we have, the equipment, or the money we have that are in some pots that are dedicated to certain uses, get creative, find a way to use that money to leverage it to come up with millions more. And so that is half my day. I can tell you that with the amount of projects we have and the amount of stuff in the grants, it is a constant, that's the fun part of my day. I take a couple hours a day and say, okay, you know, it's scheme time. How can I take what we have and you know, project it forward? And all I really want to do is create projects, better quality of life, you know, change the face of our town as fast as I can. Many people don't think I'm going fast enough. Well, you know, my foot's on the gas, but government does move. I've been here 5 years, just about, and government moves way too slow for me. So that's why I just constantly have probably 10, 15 pots on the fire, because it does move too slow for me.
All right. But, got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phones and say, hello, you're in the air.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
I was calling to ask a question. I missed the naming of the boat landing.
Mm-hmm.
What did you give it a specific name?
Yes, ma'am. Felicity's Landing.
Felicity.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We have a long history with Felicity. Felicity was the lady who nursed so many people during the yellow fever epidemic. Felicity was a slave, and actually she lived right across the street at what was Mount Carmel. Before that was the Frederick DePeria Mansion, and that's where she lived. So we thought it was very fitting to tie that story into the Bayou Teche, into our downtown, where it all happened.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because that was one of the things I was going to ask.
Okay.
I know you have, not to take away from what you're doing, the Blue Dog and the other gentleman that y'all making a statue of, mm-hmm. but we, you know, the boat landing is good, but being Felicia, she actually saved and should have good representation for New Iberia and also Bunk Johnson. We do not have any of that on the main street.
I can't agree more. We have a plaque now that I really wanted for Bunk Johnson. You know, because Bunk Johnson chose us. We didn't choose him. He moved here. He didn't have to come here from New Orleans, you know?
Yes.
So we have a plaque in front of the Slyman that has his picture and talks about all his contributions to jazz and to our community. We have one plaque, but it's been a very long time ago, that's in front of the library for Felicity. So I did think it was important to do more and to try to attach Felicity to right where she lived, right where, you know, where she helped so many people. And I would love to see a statue of Bunk Johnson. If you remember, many years ago as a private citizen, I built out of my pocket with a bunch of volunteers, but I spent money, the Bunk Johnson Park that we had, and I pushed and pushed to get a sculpture there. But I'd love to have one right in the middle of our downtown, if you ask me.
I would, and that's what I would love also, because it's not very many people that's going to come to St. Edward Cemetery.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, for recognition.
And you remember he didn't even have a marker on it for years. People would come and you couldn't even find it.
Right.
No,
right.
I know
well,
that
I'm
history.
I'm so happy.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'm so happy, you know, to hear both for Felicia and Bunk Johnson. So that made kind of, like you could say, it made my day today.
Good to hear. Appreciate the call.
Thank you for calling.
367-1240, just about ready to let the mayor go, though.
Good.
Any final thoughts?
No, just, you know, she brings up a good point, though, you know, to diversify and to make sure that we tell all of our history through our whole community is really important. The more tourists we're going to get, the more people we will see here in our community is only the better job that we do, you know, diversifying and telling, you know, the story of the whole town. So, all good stuff.
One of the things I love, you've been to Key West, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that one square where they've got all these busts of famous Key Westians?
Yes.
People who contributed to Key. I love that.
I would love to see that. I really would. You know? I think that we should do that. I think that's really cool. No, Key West, man. Can't ask for better.
There you go.
I can't wait. I'd like to be back there right now, so it won't be long. I think we're trying to sneak one in before the year's up.
Good, good. 42 minutes after. Thank you.